Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Y'all see this? Y'all see this? I'm being dramatic. They're making fun of me, y'all. Welcome to Cherry's World Podcast. I am Cherry Johnson, but today we got a special guest in the house. This one happens to be my homeboy, and we go back really far. You can call him Professor X from TNE. I'm going to call him Brandon because that's what his mama called him.
The only podcast coming through your beat stereo is Cherry's World, so let's go around like a merry-go. Plug your phone in, make sure it got a full battery. Download it Wednesday, listen to it Saturday. She cover all topics, whatever you after. She got ball players, authors, doctors, actors, rappers, singers, entrepreneurs, divas, leaders, Androids or Apple, turn up your speakers. Trying to shoot my shot like the vaccine, whether it's Cherry or Maxine, whether the podcast or acting, she that queen. PYT, you know what that mean. So saw you on TV and touch the screen, touch on you. I plead Lucy's got a crush on you. It'll mean the world to get a blush from you. Teaspoon to me, leave you sleep like Robitussin do.
What's up, B?
Got it, man. What's the deal?
How you doing?
Oh, man, sometimes me, always you.
So, just so you know, Courtney, he talk like that, okay? So good luck understanding him. I've gotten used to it, you know, and I've learned to listen to E-40 because of him. So look, I got to put these on because I can't see good no more. I can't front with B because he know I can't see, so he going to tell me to stop squinting. So I might as well just put them on before we start. Brandon and I go back a long, long way. Yeah, for the people out there that don't know our relationship, well, I don't think there's a lot of people that don't know our relationship, but people that don't know our relationship, can you tell them what the TNE stands for?
Take no excuses.
Yeah. And that's a motto that you live by.
And you do.
Where did you come from?
It's my life. You know, I've been disabled for over 20 years, and I live my life based upon that motto. Like, you can cut your lights out or you keep going. And when you're in the wheelchair, no one cares if you're in a wheelchair or not. They don't give you no excuses because you're sitting in a chair, you just are just sitting still. They're gonna push you to keep going. And when people treat me like that, I carry that mantra and make it my own. So if I can't give you no excuses, I ain't gonna take none.
And let me tell you, he makes you stay accountable. He doesn't let me give him no excuses. In fact, I'm on social media as heavily as I am because of this man. Mm. Courtney, he's the one that makes me check my DMs. He's the one that made me start putting up videos. If it wasn't for him, I would have never done it. And he would not take the excuse of, I don't know how. You know what he told me? Figure it out.
Well, I knew her greatness. And I knew if she connected with the social media world with her greatness, she was just going to expand it to be something greater past whatever she's done in her previous years.
So since you brought up your injury and your disability, can you tell us more about how you got in that wheelchair?
I was in high school, my 10th grade year, block system. To where we get out of school around about 1:30. I was doing bad in Spanish class. So my mother had set up a tutoring class at her job at an elementary school she worked at, which was off of one of my bus stops or bus routes going home. But the school bus that leaves to go to where her school is was at 3. So I was just waiting around trying to bypass time until it was time for me to get on the 3 o'clock bus. So I had a couple of friends of mine going down to the football field, and it wasn't football season. It was like track season at the time. So they had all the little, the gymnastic mats and the little pogo stick thing that you jump over. I don't know by name, but that's what it was. And instead of, you know, the gymnastic being used for trampoline jumping, we use it for wrestling. Like we watch WWF or WWE, how they dog pile on top of each other. So one thing led to another. The high school football team had came out to see what we're doing and joined in on the fun. But you know, these guys are 300, 250, 300 some pounds, and we scrawny, we small. So I end up at the bottom of a dog pile up after one of the football players threw me onto the pile up. One of the players that was there, you guys may be familiar with future Hall of Fame Steve Smith. I'm with the school of Steve Smith. Yeah. And he was actually one of the guys in the pile up while we
receiver?
Were. Sorry, say one word again, bro.
Wide receiver?
Yeah. So the guy who actually threw me in the pile up, he got out, jumped on top of everybody. And because I was scooting out and I couldn't no longer move because of all the pressure on my abdomen, I was losing focus and losing conscious. So the last thing I recall was him jumping on top of everybody and my neck kind of like hanging off the edge of the mat. And he just bent over his whole pressure of his whole body just sprung my neck over. So when I woke up, I don't know how long I was down for. It could have been about 15, 20 minutes maybe. But when I woke back up, I couldn't feel anything. And the guy, it was one of the big dudes, one of the football players, he was there. He lifted me up, and I just buckled and fell down to the ground. And he looking at me like, dang, man, well, you already get up, man. I'm like, I can't feel or move a thing. And the first sign of not moving, I wanted to panic and cry. And I sit there for about 20, 30 minutes thinking it would just, you know how you ever sit on your hands and your hands get numb? Yeah. And you think, well, you know, once you get off your hands, little, it's going to come back.
Yeah.
I was thinking that, but it didn't. So I was starting to cry. But then I started thinking about my grandmother, who was a diabetic. And she never, throughout her tenor of going through that, those procedures of having to get a shunt arm or being hospitalized, she never cried and never showed no mercy. And I thought about her, and I just immediately stopped crying, and something just came up, something just lifted over my shoulders, and I didn't have no fear. And I went to the hospital, being a minor, of being a child, not knowing what to expect, because you know I never been to a hospital with that with anything of that severity, and the warm welcoming of having two parents showing up gave me the comfortability to face, along with my spirit, what was getting ready to happen. And then within 3 days of being admitted into the hospital, the doctor came in and said, we have some bad news. And he says, you have separated your vertebrae and your neck from your C5, your C6, and your C7, your C8. If you're not familiar with those terms, if you can bend your head over and touch the back of your neck, you'll feel a bone there. That's your C8. I damaged that, allowed me to lose the ability in my hands, my legs, and et cetera. And it caused me to be a quadriplegic, to where I lost feeling from pretty much my chest on down. But my situation is incomplete. So there's certain areas in my lower region that I can feel and certain other parts that I can't. So that's how my injury happened, and that's how I ended up finding out, you know, what it was when that time came.
When you have a serious injury like that, I have another friend who you know about. He's a paraplegic. When stuff like that happens, you have to go through some sort of depression, right? I mean, that's human. How did you get yourself out of that? Tell me you ain't human, Brandon.
I'm not. I was gonna tell you where my depression set in at.
Okay.
I wasn't so much depressed about my injury. What made it difficult was dating. When it came to the opposite sex, because when you're 15 and 16 years of age, the female doesn't understand what are you going through, or you don't know if she's willing to go the distance with you. So it's, and then when you if you're a able-bodied male, when you're a adolescent, you think about sex, or you think about going to the movies with your friends, or that was hindered, that was cut short. So when women, you know, women are hanging at the malls, especially in my time when I'm coming up, that's where we're going to meet the girls at. You know, Saturdays, the girls are at the mall, or they're this location, that location, and you no longer can go to those places. So you get the depression sets in, because you want to be appealing for the opposite sex because you're human. You understand what I'm saying? So yeah. I wanted to give up at one point in time in my life based on that. What helped me get over was I had a good mother. I had a good father. I had some solid individual cousins that was there to amend me for whatever I needed them to do for me. Like, you know, and then they helped me build my confidence back up, along with my uncle too, my daddy's brother, my daddy's baby brother. My uncle was very instrumental in my life. But they gave me the tools to carry on. Then, you know, a lot of my cousins would introduce me to women, and then women would be understanding, because then I can, instead of cold approaching a woman at a venue, she's there on the other end, because that's what kids do at a certain age. They talk on the phone, they three-way each other. So now they're a little bit more understanding, more welcoming to who I am. And once that was able to take place, now I'm on a comfortable level of learning how to connect with the opposite sex. So it was my family.
Which uncle? I gotta ask.
The uncle you know, my big uncle Ronnie.
Hey, Uncle Ronnie, how you doing? Uncle yeah. Ronnie is my boo. I love me some Uncle Ronnie.
Yeah, my uncle is like my hero. Also, he don't know that though, but he was like my childhood hero. He was my Superman to me, along with my father. But my uncle was young; is like 8-9 years younger than my father, so he was more hipper than my father. He would play the Madden games with us and stuff like that, or play the basketball games, or be at our football games, or et cetera. Like, he was in tune with us as youngsters. So we grew a nice alliance with him. You know what I'm saying?
His spirit is electrifying.
Yeah.
You're not going to be around Uncle Ronnie and not smile. So I totally see that.
Real walk
All right. Well, enough about your injury. Because you know how
I don't want to bring the spirits down talking about that.
Can I say something about that? My
That's like B. So B and I are friends, like friends, right? I've watched him grow from a boy to a man. And his social life has always been way more live than mine has. Like, I call looking for B one day, he's like, yeah, I'm in Miami. The next day, he's in Georgia. The next day, he's back in Oakland with E-40. So let's talk about that. You almost signed to E-40.
Yeah, well, I had a group I was pushing or producing at the time in Los Angeles by the name of 110, and I named them after the artery highway that takes us to where we come from in South Central. It's like, if you're from Illinois, right? Chicago? Mm-hmm. So you're familiar with 90, 94, 290 and all that, right? Mm-hmm. So our artery is the 110. Mm-hmm. And I named it after that, and that freeway divides between the east side and the west side where we come from. Okay. You guys have North Chicago, South Chicago, and West Side, right? Mm-hmm. So we only have pretty much West in LA. I mean, West Side, East Side. So I had a guy from the East Side of LA, one from the West Side, and I end up meeting E-40's artist named Turf Talk through one of my family members that was dating him at the time. And I had just bought E-40 album because, you know, that's one of my favorite peoples. Before I even met him, he was one of my favorite artists. And I had read the, you know how when we young, we like to read the booklet. So I saw his name in inside the credits. And she like, I'm on the phone talking to the dude named Turf Top. I'm like, because she live in the Bay. So I'm like, Turf Top? Is that the same dude on E-40? Yeah, that's him. I'm like, okay, what's... Let him know I want to do some music for him because I'm a up and coming producer at this time. So we end up building a good relationship, a good friendship. I took my own budget money and directed one of his videos when we didn't even have an outlet to put videos because YouTube didn't exist at the time. But I just wanted to do something for him to show him my leverage of what I can do and what I can bring to the table, because if you work with me, we can build. So with my loyalty to him, created a friendship with E-40. So I ushered the opportunity to bring my talent and go through Turf Talk, which he created a label called Hood Boy. And Hood Boy was going to be distributed through Sick With It. But Turf had a different way of he wanted to do things. So it just didn't happen. But the situation was right there for us to do it.
But you and Turf have a relationship and you guys have actually done a lot of music together.
Turf ended up, I ended up helping his department side of help developing things that he needed done from his hood, his own imprint, Hood Boy. So me and Turf just went on to do, I went on to help Turf do his own individual solo thing. And then I always had my imprint TNE, so I never came to anybody's label with my hand out. I always said, if I'll pay to be a part of y'all situation and, you know, whatever, and pay for the features, I don't want nothing for free. I don't want nothing given to me. I'm not saying I'm different than a lot of other talent, but I didn't come with my hand asking for stuff. You know what I'm saying? I came bearing gifts like, here, man, take that, you take that. But this is what I want from this. And I'm young, so I don't know the game, but I know the streets. And I know how the streets operate when it comes to distributing certain things, street pharmacy types things. So I'm like, it's no different in the business game. If you know how to wrap your mind around that. So that's pretty much how me and Turf relationship grew, because I just stayed locked in with him and he took me on tour, which E-40 was part of that tour. And if you're familiar with any West Coast artists, Keek the Sneak was on the tour with us, as well as a few other cupping. Maybe you heard of Be Legit from back in the old school days. He was there on a few dates. So it let me open up the launch pad of what I needed to do for the talent that I had with me. gave me my legs, my wings, so to speak. You know, I learned a lot just by being around, and I documented it. A lot of the footage, no one would help me. I had not even my own crew sometimes. I had to hold a phone or hold a camera phone, and I had to road manage, and I had to set up rooms. You know what I'm saying? I'm paying for gas, paying for their food, sometimes taking them to go get clothes so they can stand next to the artists and still look good. Like, I took the initiative on my end just so I can show them I know a little something, but I'm asking for help. You know what I mean? And then, you know, I guess with that's the detailings of what went good and what bad could be another segue. But yeah.
Yeah, I went through the same thing, man, in Chicago. Hey, you said something about 290. How you know about 290? You been in Chicago a lot?
I've been in Chicago one time, but as a kid, I was an avid map reader. Word. And I always wanted to go to places I'd never been because, you know, if you're from a city, you rarely ever travel to other places when you're young. Yeah. You may travel to your local surrounding places like Indiana because it's 15, 20 minutes away, Gary or something like that, or Iowa, 3 hours away, or, you know, Wisconsin up top. You know what I mean? But us as Californians, we'll end up going to Nevada or Arizona. And at some point, that gets bland. Like, it's no hold in the world. So I would just look at the routes all the time. Like, if I ever get an opportunity to go to Chicago, this is how I'm gonna take the route to go get it. But I end up meeting the girl that I went to Las Vegas. I was in Las Vegas, and she was there. And she lived in Chicago. And then I have a cousin that has a daughter that was part of one of them basketball tournament teams that were playing downtown Chicago. I can't think of the name of that street, but is it Cermak or something like that?
Cermak. Oh, okay.
So it's a hotel with a indoor something. Like, they turned it into a gym. So we went there. I ended up meeting the girl, but I knew my routes.
Yeah.
We stayed in Des Plaines.
Des Plaines, yeah.
Yeah, we stayed out there, and then we would travel to Chicago daily. But that was my first time going to Chicago, and I went down Michigan Avenue. I didn't get a chance to go to the hood like I want to, but I wanted to go down Ashland and Houston and all that. I'm a street nigga, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I want to see Cabrini and all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Courtney, let me tell you how cold he is. So I had Brandon before I had GPS, right? Because GPS wasn't a thing. You could call Brandon and be like, I'm on this street and this street in this state, because I could be in a different state. And I'd be like, I need help.
That's cool.
He would literally guide me to where I needed to go.
That's cool.
That was my passion before music. So
that's cool.
And it's like, you know, knowing your routes is pretty much obsolete, because you can tell, so you can get in a car today with somebody right now and know the way to get there, and they'll still want to ask for the address because they want to know how to route it themselves.
Mm-hmm. And talking about teaching, because you're a natural born educator, can you tell us what legend you taught how to use IG Live? And it ain't me, so I'm not calling myself a legend.
I don't know if he's a legend to anybody, but if you're familiar with the Bay Area, there's a rapper by the name of JT the Bigger Figure.
Yeah, I heard JT, yeah.
JT the Bigger Figure is legendary for being like, man, for teaching Master P how to do the things he knows. Yeah. So I was one day, me and my cousin Gourmet out the Bay, aka Twan Gotti, we happened to be in Atlanta. He had arranged a meeting to meet with JT. So JT at one point had a Sprinter van. He was going from one location to another. So we rode the Sprinter van with him. And I pulled out my phone. I asked him, I said, can I record this? He was like, yeah, sure, go ahead. So I'm recording, and he's trying to correct me how to turn the phone sideways to get the wide angle. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm woke. I'm hip. You know what I'm saying? So I'm telling him I'm recording on Facebook Live, and Facebook Live doesn't allow you to turn your phone sideways. Right. So after a while, you see it kind of seeped in. He was like, wait, I can record live? Well, and people can watch me? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, Fig love to talk. And then And it just sparked. And then from that point on, he just went crazy on YouTube Live, IG Live, Facebook Live. He just been unstoppable because he was unstoppable prior to that. He just needed, you know, a booster to help him levitate to where he needed to go.
How smart, how smart was that guy, man?
You know, it's crazy. He was very intelligent, but when I met him, you didn't see off the rip, but you can tell he was very insightful, wanting to always learn information. Like he was all, like the things that he was learning, he was trying to project it amongst people around him. And people, and when he was younger, like in his, when he was first starting out, because he wasn't popping when he first started out. I met him early in his career. I met him, he was driving a bucket, and he was known as Nipsey Hussle. Mm. I mean, if people don't know what a bucket is, that's an unaffordable vehicle, you know, like a Mercedes-Benz or something. Like he was driving like a Brougham or something. But when I first was around to get a glimpse of who he was, he always was trying to be a beacon of knowledge. He was always just trying to just learn. And if you ever heard of Big U would be, I would see him and Big U talking, and Big U would be schooling him, and he would be like, I remember I was trying to ask him something. He was like, man, give me one second. Big U was giving him game. And he was just on, like, he was like on his knees as Big U was talking to him, looking up at Big U, learning. And I'm like, okay, I see what he on. But what he became, I didn't see that coming, but I'm not shocked either. Because I always knew, not always knew, but from the time of meeting, like he was on to something different, other than most of us that come from where we come from. But it's different when you know who you are.
Yeah.
Like he knew he was enriching. His father had took him to Africa. He knew his grandmother, his great grandmother, in the village where he comes from. It's different when it's like when our village comes from our street, or the closest we got to Africa was knowing that our great grandmamas was from Mississippi or Louisiana. So it's a different type of learning when you actually learn who yourself is. And he was something special around because he knew where he wanted to go. The knowledge that he see, a lot of people look at him as the gangbanger. I saw him as a man who didn't want to do none of that, but just by being growing up in an environment, it's kind of difficult to bypass the gang life because your peers are around you. And I don't mean to keep up too much time with this, but I just wanted to just shed some light on that.
So I want to talk about your own album, because you got your own album coming out, right?
Yeah.
When are we going to be expecting it? I done already got some sneak peek, but I don't know if everybody else got the sneak peeks that I got.
We're looking forward to like maybe like July of 2023, and we're trying to put together a situation where we're connected with the Handicapped Pride, because they have a Pride Month for handicapped people in July.
Really? How come I don't know about this?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com.
Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I thought I was, invited to all the prides. Ain't nobody ever invited me to handicap pride.
I mean, but, you know, this is free game. So if you get some game, you go Google what I'm speaking, and then you can see what I'm saying for yourself.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So, but yeah, my project's coming out in July. I'm dropping singles in between time and some videos throughout next year. And, you know, the album was inspired from, you know, looking at the old compilations from back in the days when you had various artists on one production or one project. And I don't really have a lot of people like that. So I just used my team of artists. And I welcome in a new artist by the name of EBS Tiny Deuce from my community. And I wanted to help and develop him to see him do something greater than where he come from. So, you know, and then, but my inspiration came from people like, this is probably going to be off base a little bit, but Sir Mix-a-Lot. Like, why Sir Mix-a-Lot? Because if you ever listen to any of old Sir Mix-a-Lot production, it really is just him and his old drum machine called an SP-1200, and whatever his mind put sounds into that drum machine is what he came up with. He didn't have a lot of help. He didn't have this person, that person. He comes from the state of Washington. How many artists come out of Washington at that time? We got Macklemore and stuff like that, Nirvana, but prior to him, we never heard nobody. But, and I end up downloading this app that was $20 on my cell phone called Beatmaker 2. And I imported a gang of sounds, and I pretty much was like, man, I'm just gonna rely. I could have used my laptops and other little devices. I said, let me just be humble and let's see what it would be like if I just make production off of a unit that only have limited sounds. And it ended up being some good music, and a lot of people was like, wow, I can't believe you did that. I'm like, you like that? All right, we got some. Let's keep going.
You got something for sure. Now, you're one out of three people that are signed to Empire Distribution?
No, not anymore. Empire, when I first linked with Empire was just created. I was one of three, meaning Too Short was there, because Too Short just came off his deal with Jive. He had did the Blow the Whistle album. Everybody know the Blow the Whistle. That album was from that, and then he was out of his deal. So the owner of Empire, which his name is Ghazi, had proposed a deal for him, like, hey man, if you trust me, I can with your new release, or just give me some music, I can show you what I can do. So we didn't have Apple Music or Spotify at the time. We just had iTunes. So he released, I think it's called 1999 something, if that makes sense. But he released it, and the album, I think, sold 10,000 units at $10 a pop independently, which made Too Short $100,000. And when Too Short saw that, you know, Too Short's a money guy. You know, he doesn't care about no gold or platinum plaque like that. Not saying he don't care about it now, but whatever, but right. He cares about more about the money than the plaque. So $100,000, and Too Short, like, I got albums in a vault just sitting there. So they end up building a prosperous relationship from there. And then I had got an ear of what Ghazi was doing, because I had ended up meeting this guy at Phase One who had a distribution deal through Fontana Distribution, who was that was like the independent company to Universal Records. And, you know, I'm chasing a dream trying to be signed to a major. So I'm thinking this is a stepping stone. I'm hearing more on the West Coast about these independent these labels that's connected to Fontana Distribution. So I end up, you know, having to pay $10,000 to sign to the deal. And then once I'm over there, I'm trying to put a record in stores. They tell me that if you don't have a buzz, Violent Brown, this is a name to Google, Violent Brown won't put your records in stores. It broke my heart. So the backup source was this company called InGrooves. And InGrooves was the first digital distributor to upload music from Apple Mute to Apple iTunes or whatever other platforms they had at the time. It was the first digital distribution. Just so happened, maybe less than a year of me being over there with Fontana Distribution, Universal Records, the parent company, did a deal with InGrooves. And Ghazi was working at the urban department at InGrooves. But the guy who I signed the deal with, for some reason, he didn't really like Ghazi. I never seen Ghazi, didn't know nothing about the dude, but everybody in their mama would be talking about this Ghazi dude. So I'm in the Bay Area, once again, with Gourmet, a.k.a. Twan Gotti, and I'm telling him about Ghazi, and he's like, I know a Ghazi. And Ghazi was a guy from the Bay. He's a Palestinian. He was a producer and a recording engineer, maybe an artist, maybe in the early 90s. You feel me? So from that point, I got a win that they knew who he was. One of Gourmet's mentors was a guy named named Mike Brown. He's no longer with us, but R.P. Mike Brown. And Mike Brown ended up giving me the number because Mike Brown took a love and a liking to me. So I called Ghazi, made an appointment, and the rest was history. He gave me an hour and 30 minute speech of what Empire was going to do in the future. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm you already got me. I'm ready to sign because I ain't got nothing else. And then I just put everybody on to Empire Distribution. And then he had signed an artist by the name of Sage the Gemini. He had a record called like a Red Nose and Gas Pedal, something like that. And it took off, and they record label side was launched from that point.
Good. Now, Cherry's World doesn't really do gossip, but it's hard for me to bring up Empire without bringing up the artists who were distributed through Empire who have fallen in the recent years.
Do you want my take on it?
Well, I want to be politically correct when we do the take on it. Do you feel like there's some sort of connection?
Absolutely not. It's no different than Tupac and Biggie being signed to a major conglomerate and they die. These artists promote death in their music. They have problems where they come from. If you look at all the artists who passed away that were signed to Empire, died in their hometown.
Yeah, that'll do.
What does the label have to do with someone beefing with you in your own hometown when you had beef prior to you signing the deal?
I'm just asking.
No, I know. I'm just giving you light on what you're saying. Like, I understand what you're saying, but my personal opinion, like, I think people should deaden the idea of that Empire has something to do with the passing of the death. The thing about Empire is Ghazi is giving multiple artists an opportunity, a chance with their music to broadband to different places that other artists are not coming to sign these talents in their towns to do nothing with or for. Like, he's giving a lot of these artists a launch pad to do their thing. You know what I'm saying? But if they were signed to Columbia, Sony, or Warner, Elektra, Atlantic, would we say the same thing then? And they all connected to each other.
I would ask if it was five artists signed with Columbia and it seemed to be a try. I definitely ask, what's the trend here?
Just a man giving people from the inner city an opportunity who has problems in their hometown.
No, I guess it's just like child stars, right?
If you're from PA, Pittsburgh, yeah. Right? So let's say you had an issue with someone before you left to come to California. And from 6 or 7 years old, they still got a problem with you at 45 or 46 years old. And then someone slaps you out of nowhere. Are we going to blame UPN for the problem you had at Pittsburgh or something?
No.
Exactly. It's the same difference.
Yeah. All right.
You know, I'm glad you did that. I was looking for the video. My buddy, who's a big time conspiracy theorist on the internet, he made a video about this situation, trying to put all these deaths together and blaming, you know, right. that and everything. But I'm glad to be able to talk to someone who was there,
right.
knows these people. That's the thing, and that's the thing that Cherry did for me. We all had our own opinions about, you know, Hollywood. And I remember I even told Cherry some of them when I first met her, and she was like, no, that's not what happens. And I'm glad, you know, sometimes we need that, like, because as fans, because, like, we really be believing certain things. And
I
like,
he just knew I was in the Illuminati.
No, it wasn't that. No, I didn't think she was that. But I mean, but there's people probably that think like that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad that to have.
What's your last name?
Mine?
Yeah.
Blackman? Yeah.
So let's say somebody says all the Blackmans murder people. Yeah. They do all this malicious acts. And then you come in like, that's not true.
Oh, I forgot Cherry's last name, Josh.
But the point I'm making about it is someone saying that just because they heard of something,
right.
meaning that this is what it is. And then you give an opportunity or a light to say, true, not all Blackmen are like this. Some of us are gentlemen. Some of us handle business different.
Right.
You know what I mean? So by you being around, you give light in a different perspective to something that people can make go left.
Right. That's real shit. Absolutely.
I got to laugh every time he shouts out Gotti, because my daughter affectionately calls him Uncle Gotti, and Uncle Gotti has been very instrumental in her education thus far.
Gotti's a good dude.
Gotti is.
My boy Gotti is a great dude, too. That's the first Gotti I met, my boy Gotti.
Yeah. Real spiel.
All Gottis are good in my book.
I don't know all Gottis. I'm not going to say that in my book. But my daughter definitely adores.
Let's say the ones that we know.
Ones we know.
Now, you know what? So I'm not going to put my homegirl out there like that. But she also has a connection with Cypress Hill. And you have a funny story, right?
Oh, man. So I don't know if people are familiar with West Coast legend King T from the West Coast. And when I was just starting out to try to be a producer, he lived maybe 10, 15 minutes from where my ex-girlfriend lived in Lancaster. He lived in Palmdale. She lived in Lancaster. And I ended up getting introduced to King T through a legendary DJ from Compton, California, named Mixmaster Spade, R.I.P. Spade. That was my guy. So one day I called King T. I'm like, because I'm thinking I'm going to meet Dr. Dre, because King T was signed to Dr. Dre. You know, if you ever listen to Crime 2001, listen to some LA niggas. King T got to kick the verse off on that thing.
Okay. But,
King T, I called him. He said, I said, what you got going this week? He said, I got to go to Be Real. He said, it's so regular. Like, Be Real just some regular ass nigga from around the corner. And I was like, you talking about B-Room Cypress Hill? He was like, yeah. I said, can I go? Can I ride? Can I go? He was like, come on, for sure. King T got a heart of gold, man. Like, real talk. If you ever hear about him, heart of gold. So that morning I had my ex-girlfriend get me dressed way earlier. Then he was ready to go. I was probably outside of that dude's house by 8:30. We didn't leave until about 10 o'clock. So I'm sitting out there with a backpack just on the side of the concrete, just waiting for him to come outside. I called him, let him know I was there. Okay, so look, we mosey on down, because Be Real lives in this, if you're not familiar with LA, we have a area called the San Fernando Valley. Be Real lives in one of those locations in the San Fernando Valley. And we go to the house. First we go to a multi-platinum producer named Fred Reck. He's one of the Snoop Dogg's directors for that Martha Stewart show that they own.
Oh, okay.
You see a Palestinian dude laughing in the background on the beat. That's Fred Reck.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so we go to his house, talk to him for a minute, but he is the only person that knows how to get to Bieber's house. So he's like our guy. So we get there. I mean, I'm thinking Be Real living this big old mansion full of weed and all kind of shit, right? This dude lives in a regular house, humble as hell, with a navigator in the front. Not that that's a bad thing, but it didn't supersede what I thought it was. And then he has this recording studio in the garage, and it's like it had to be like July in the valley. Oh my God, it's like 110, 20 degrees outside, and let alone how hot it is indoor in a garage. So I'm looking around, looking at the studio equipment and whatnot, and I'm looking like, damn, dude, this dude got the same shit in there. Am I got the same shit in my garage? What the fuck is he doing that I ain't doing? You know? So I'm in the garage, and so I'm, you know, Tupac had a line in one of his songs. I was young, but I was fucking asking questions. And I, you know, basically, you ain't gonna get nowhere if you don't ask no fucking questions. But I guess that I overdid it when I was there with King T. I embarrassed King T and his friends by talking so much, but I'm like, I ain't gonna never get a chance to see Be Real again. My bad, I need to get all this shit out. So I'm trying to understand the music business, trying to learn the game. So I'm asking questions like, man, just give me this, give me that, tell me that. I don't want no verse. I don't want nothing else but the understanding of the music business. So we there for like 2 or 3 hours because King T came here to come get a verse for one of his mixtapes. We get in the car. They didn't even start the car. I'm in the car all happy and shit. I may be real. I can't wait to tell my friends and shit. I may be real from Cypress Hill and shit. Man, and I'm like, the car didn't start for like 3 minutes and shit. And I look around, everybody looking at me. So King T look at me, nigga, don't you ever do that shit no more. Homie, you don't do no shit like that when you go to people's house and be talking and shit. I'm like, I can't wait to get away from these niggas and shit because I'm so embarrassed. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But you don't want to embarrass the person who bring you somewhere.
Yeah.
So it taught me a valuable lesson how to say something and get out the way.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So that was my funny story about Be Real that I just can never forget because they were so fucking pissed at me. And when I talk to King T sometime and talk about it, he don't even act like he remember that shit. I'm like, man, that was pinnacle to me because, nigga, I couldn't wait to get away from your ass and be and dust that embarrassment off.
I would have did the same shit though. Hey, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead, bro.
Give me your Mount Rushmore, Cherry U2, West Coast rappers.
Man. What you see already? Snoop, Q, Short, 40 Water. That is the West Coast. I mean, you have other key players that you can put underneath them, but it would be what you see.
But the reason why, well, hold on, I got to follow up. But Cherry, you give me your Mount Rushmore.
Dre? Do they have to still be living?
Yeah. Well, no, whatever.
I was going to say Dre, easy.
Well, my bad. Yeah. I would say Tupac would be on that list.
So that's why I'm going to ask you. Because you said, well, go ahead, Cherry. I'll follow. Go ahead.
I was going to say Dre, easy. Pac, for sure. Got to give E40 holds down the whole Bay Area.
Great, easy, Pac, and 40.
That's four. I get five, don't I?
No, four.
Who's on Mount Rushmore? Dang, I only get four. Okay, so yeah, that would be my four.
So DJ Quick said this week, he said that he should be on Dr. Dre's level. How y'all feel about that?
I totally disagree. Totally disagree. Now, one thing I do agree with is DJ Quick quality of his production, like the quality sound. It's on the same lines of a Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
But Dre's production is just too powerful. And he has hits from the time that he started to pretty much the time that last time we heard Dr. Dre put out music. And he just doesn't have a long lineage of music like that.
That's why I'm wondering. Like, why do you think he said that then?
Because he is a GOAT. And he knows how good he is. And Quick is really a musician. Like, he really plays different instruments, or he knows how to assemble things. And not saying Dre is not good when it comes to that. Dre has been phenomenally great at orchestrating things. But Quick is more like a jazz kind of instrumentalist. You know what I mean? And Dre, to me, is more like rock to me. Like, hip-hop and rock mashes together. Like, their sounds are too different. Like, I don't, like, in the West Coast or L.A., I always categorize the three producers that we had coming up. We have DJ Battle Cat, and you have DJ Quick, and you have Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre always reminded me of Parliament, yeah. George Clinton. Yeah. Everything funkadelic was Dr. Dre. But then when you get with DJ Quick, he reminds me of like Prince, Morris Day, and Battle Cat reminds me of Roger Troutman and Zapp and Roger. So if you listen to the music, they use a lot of those different elements for those three different kind of artists. But Dre just happens to master all of them because his sound is just amazing.
I was just so amazed. Like, why would Quick say something like that he's on Dr. Dre's level? I'm like, that's I don't know. Maybe he just wanted to trend on social media. I'm like, that's.
I don't think so. I just think that he just feels he's just equally great because he is great.
And they all came up together at the same time. Maybe he feels like he hasn't gotten the same opportunities that Dre has gotten.
I beg to differ. Because, okay, let's say Ruthless Records came out on Priority. Priority is an independent. I don't know if people know that.
Oh, so it wasn't Interscope, huh?
No. So, remind you that when Dr. Dre left NWA, he had nothing. He had his name, but there was no money to produce an album. So they had to go find some street people to get some independent money to start Future Shock, which ended up becoming Death Row. You know what I'm saying? So with the opportunity of doing that, he created an album without even having a label. See, DJ Quick has skills and is, to me, is one of the greats. He was signed to Profile.
Yeah.
If you go back to the time, DJ Quick's first album came out before the first Chronic. So how do you not have the same opportunities? And Eazy-E has a hand in helping DJ Quick.
For real?
DJ Quick, one of DJ Quick's first deals came through Ruthless. But Profile wouldn't let him go so he could be signed to Eazy. So instead of him not signing to Ruthless, they signed to Penthouse Players Click. And Quick was instrumental in helping producing a lot of that album. And if you ever look at any of those Penthouse Players videos, you'll see Quick in them songs.
So Cherry, you said Dre and Quick and all them, they grew up together. I grew up with, but they all were together. Like I never knew that.
Yeah.
Somewhat, yes. They all knew each other because in the early 80s, Quick made a tape called The Red Tape in every tape. So people knew who DJ Quick was, but Dre was already on at the time. Eazy-E had JJ Fad by the time that Red Tape had dropped.
Gotcha.
You feel what I'm saying? So Dre was already Stratton Compton before we even heard DJ Quick become anything major. But in the underground circuit, you know, people were hearing about, you heard about that Blood dude that dropped that Red Tape and da 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 da. Because, you know, we used to use the swap meets to go listen to go get music. And I'm a kid. So, you know, like I said, my uncle in the beginning, you know, he had a purple candy apple purple King Cab Nissan. They more like the Hispanics that garden trucks use those trucks now, but back then they were like the shit.
They had that's how they used to talk though. You heard about that Blood dude that dropped that? That's how they talk back then.
Well, you know, it's other terms that we use, but
yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm on the higher scale. Yes.
Wow.
So, I'm just saying, like, you know, the street cats would get the tapes. Boys, matter of fact, Boys in the Hood was on a TDK tape back in the days in the swap meets. That's how the gangsters end up spreading the music and stuff, because it complemented the sounds. Because we come from an era, if you 40 and up, we come from where we didn't have a lot of hip hop in the early 80s, on the West Coast at least. We didn't have a lot of hip hop until maybe 87, maybe 88. MC Cameron was one of the first rappers on the West Coast. You know what I'm saying? I want to say he was before Dre. So, you know, can you hear me over there?
No, yeah, I'm over here making faces. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think Cameron was before Dre.
Because he had the Dr. Dre definitely dropped.
Well, nobody knew about Dre like that when he was with Alonzo and forgot the name of the group. But nobody knew about who Dre was. Dre was the background. It was all about Alonzo. But Alonzo didn't make rap music.
Okay. No.
He was more of like a sequence dance type group type dude.
I hate to cut this conversation, this history LA lesson short, but B, you got to come back again.
Hell yeah, because I need more, because I'm from Chicago, so this shit is interesting to me, man.
You got to come back again, but we're about to have another guest on.
Like, this
hey,
is
man. Hey, thank you for having me. I would love to come back whenever you guys want me.
Please.
You know? What up, Cherry? Run across the world. Welcome to Cherry's world. Run across the world. Welcome to Cherry's world. Representing for every girl. Welcome to Cherry's world. Representing for every girl. Welcome to Cherry's world.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.